is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The story starts with a baby. Not in a crib, not with her parents, but in the front of a stranger's front porch. Like a movie. Picture it. A Tennessee summer morning. The sun shining through the morning haze and dew on the ground. It's humid. It's still. There's a baby. In a car seat. Alive. Abandoned. On that porch. No note. No knock. Just left. That's how this story opens. Quiet and inexplicably wrong. And from the moment that porch light flickered on, the unraveling began. The call came into Dyer County Dispatch on July 29th of 2025. An infant, maybe 6 or 7 months old, was found on a doorstep with no one around to claim her. For the sheriff's department, it wasn't just strange. It was an alarm bell with no visible fire. But the fire was there. It was just smoldering 40 miles away in Lake County. When officers traced the child's identity and her connection to a nearby family home, they walked into something much darker than anyone expected. It was not a reunion with a lost baby or a stolen baby or a kidnapped baby. They walked into a bloodbath. Inside, four people were gone. James Wilson, just 21, Adriana Wilson, 20, her mother, Courtney Rose, 38, and Adriana's little brother, Braden Williams, 15 years old. Shot. Left behind like a scene meant to be stumbled into. And that baby on the porch, she was their daughter, their niece, their granddaughter. The man police say pulled the trigger was 28-year-old Austin Drummond. He wasn't a stranger. He wasn't an outsider looking in. He was close. Close enough to know who lived in the house. Close enough to allegedly walk in, kill four people, take their baby, and drive away like she was cargo he didn't know what to do with. But he didn't take her to a hospital. He didn't drop her with a relative. He left her on a random lawn. And that's what haunts people. The choice, because it wasn't chaos at that moment. This wasn't someone who snapped in a rage and left behind a mess of bodies and noise. This was surgical, intentional. Four lives ended, one spared, and not just spared, placed, like a twisted act of symbolism. You don't do that unless you want somebody to find her, unless you want the story to start there. And don't mistake the sparing of the baby for humanity, because it is not that. People speculate about why he did it. Some think it was guilt. Some think he believed he was offering some kind of mercy. But mercy doesn't look like this. Mercy isn't leaving a child to be discovered by a stranger, unsure whether her cries will be heard or her car seat even spotted from the road, or that the people are even home. They might be on summer vacation, coming back to find the corpse of a baby on their porch a week later, after enjoying a week at Disneyland. All of these were very real possibilities. Mercy is clean. This was calculated, cold. He didn't just spare the baby, he used the baby. Used her to mark the start of the story, used her to frame the scene, used her to remind the world that he didn't lose control. He controlled everything. And isn't he a good guy in some way, shape, or form, because he saved the life of the baby? What followed was a manhunt that stretched for days across western Tennessee. Drummond vanished into the trees near Jackson. Law enforcement flooded the area. Surveillance footage caught him moving at night in full camo, rifle in hand, creeping like a war movie extra, who didn't get the memo that the real world doesn't have a script. Tips came in. The reward ballooned to over 30 grand. And then a week later, a citizen spotted him slinking through the brush. Police were already watching, and they moved in fast. Drummond was arrested on August 5th, armed, alone, still breathing. That week of waiting, of watching, of wondering where he might strike next wasn't just about safety. It was about fear, real fear, the kind that sits under your skin and buzzes, the kind that turns a rural community into a grid of locked doors and sleepless nights. Because once someone kills four people and walks away, what's to say they stop there? Remember the fear that was pulsing through Moscow, Idaho, in those early days of the investigation, looking for that vehicle, that white car that Brian Koberger was driving? That's a couple weeks. That fear was real. That fear was palpable. That fear still lingers to this day in that community, even though Brian Koberger is behind bars for the rest of his life. Because what about the next one? Here's one. The arrest in this case certainly didn't stop the questions. It started them. Why didn't he kill the baby? Why leave her alive? For someone capable of wiping out four people, two of them barely out of their teens, what made him stop short? Some online called it mercy. Others called it cruelty disguised as restraint. Psychologists call it selective violence. When a killer chooses their victims and spares others, not by accident, but with intent, it signals something deeper, something personal. He allegedly knew who he wanted gone. He also knew who he didn't, or who might have been a surprise there. The unanswered question becomes a character of its own. Was this his way of maintaining some moral high ground in his own twisted head? Or was the baby left alive as punishment to someone else? To the baby? A statement, a weapon, a reminder. It isn't unheard of for perpetrators of family annihilation to leave behind one child. And when they do, that child becomes the living witness to a story they'll never fully remember, but never stop carrying. Hi, I don't have time for that call right now. You can't grow up from that untouched. You can't become a teenager or an adult without asking yourself, why me? Why was I spared? Survivor's guilt is cruel enough when you remember everything. Imagine what it feels like when you don't remember anything, but the entire world actually does. There is no good answer for any of this. None. You're never going to find one. Does not exist. Because now that girl is going to grow up with holes where her family used to be, and when she asked why, there's only going to be one name anyone will say. She'll read about him in court filings. She'll see his face in news clippings. She'll learn that her life started over on a porch, not by choice, but by someone else's. Drummond is now charged with four counts of first-degree murder, aggravated kidnapping, and multiple weapons charges. Prosecutors are already talking about the death penalty. And three others, Giovante Thomas, Tanika Brown, and Dara Sanders, are also facing charges for allegedly helping him after the killings, cleaning up, hiding, and protecting the man who allegedly took everything from a child who couldn't fight back. The people who aided him, if that's what the evidence proves, didn't just help him run. They help extend the horror. Every day he stayed free was a day the child lived in danger. Every hour out there was a risk to someone else. That kind of silence isn't neutral. It's collaboration. It's betrayal of decency. So here we are now, a family gone, a baby left behind, and a community trying to make sense of a story that starts with a car seat on a porch and ends, for now, in a jail cell. It's a story that will stay with you, not just because of the violence, but because of the silence after it, the quiet moment when someone opened their door and found a baby waiting, alive, but not untouched. A survivor, but not unscared. She didn't cry for help. She couldn't. But her existence, her survival, is the echo of everything that happened and everything that can't be undone. And years from now, when this story isn't headline news anymore, she'll be living it. When the court dates are over, when the public has moved on, when the legal system has done whatever justice looks like in a case this broken, she'll still be there with the unspoken knowledge that someone looked at her family, made a list, and decided she didn't belong on it. That's not mercy. That's a scar shaped like survival. So what do you think? Why did this monster scare or survive? Why did this monster spare, rather, this baby? Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Lots of noise from this device today, isn't there? There's a button. Makes it silent. That's amazing. A lot of interviews coming up. Need my reminders. But let me know your thoughts in the comment section. I'd love to hear what you think. Is there any sense to it whatsoever? I mean, look at the guy. He looks like your average dope that thinks Applebee's is the best sports bar on the planet. The kind of dope that will sit there and hit on person after person after person, not really realizing it's an Applebee's, and he's the only one at the bar. He's that kind of guy. I don't know. He just strikes me as that. He looks like the person I would, when I saw his picture, I'm like, that looks like a dope you'd see at an Applebee's, like sitting there all day. Treating it like a nightclub at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. Just kind of has that vibe about him. Tell me what your thoughts are in the comments. And press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.